The scriptures mention to come before the Lord with singing and come before the Lord with a thank offering. So Brother O.B. Alford has chosen as his topic, or the title would be Under His Wings. Under His Wings. Brother O.B. Alford.
Once again, Sister Janet sends love. She's listening in. So I would like a verbal response. All who would like to have Sister Janet come to the convention here the next time I come, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Did you hear that, honey? She did. And thank you. I want you to work now. My enjoyment at a Vesper service comes from taking the voices of all the brethren and combining them in praise to the Heavenly Father. So you are my select choir tonight. I have carefully chosen each of you because of your ability to sing, no matter how good your skills are. Your heart is the Lord's, and I know that you'll sing praises to Him. And what great reason, what great cause we have to sing praises to our Heavenly Father. We abide under His wings. That is a scriptural promise. And with all the trials and the experiences and the uncertainties of life and the surety of those trials and uncertainties, what more do we need than the loving attention of our Heavenly Father? It is a great privilege to abide under His wings, because in abiding under His wings, we realize God's tender love for us. And God does love us. God has manifested His love in so many ways to each of us. We cannot deny the benefit of His Spirit working in our mind and our heart that we can understand His Word. We cannot deny His loving touch and His overruling providence in our lives. All of us, as we look back on the course of our Christian life, can see those markers so clearly in our mind, in those events and times of trial when the Lord overruled and delivered us out of them all. And because He has delivered us through all those experiences, we know that He will deliver us through all those experiences which are yet to come, until at last we meet face to face. Keep me, O Lord, as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. You know, sometimes our lives are just so overwhelmed with what's going on in them. It's difficult at times to tell the Lord what it is that's troubling us and what's bothering us. Our minds are just so weary that just trying to articulate this to the Lord seems difficult. And I found now, after almost four decades of consecration, a simple prayer. And that is, Lord, just hold me. Just hold me. I appreciate David's recognition of the intense love and overruling providence of God in his life. And if David could expect it, certainly the Lord's children can expect that same level of love, care, and providence. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. And we are just that, aren't we? We're a complete and open book before the Heavenly Father. He knows exactly what goes on in our minds. There are no surprises. He sees right through us. And He has searched us and He has known us, and yet He still loves us. He loves us. What a gracious God we have. Lord, you know when I sit down, and you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. How sweet it is to be known to this extent, that when we're trying to come to the Lord to pray, when we're trying to speak on His behalf, before a word even comes into our tongue, the Lord knows exactly what's there. And as we go in our way, I love this thought, this verse. You hem me in. I'm not left exposed in any way. You hem me in. You have this protection behind me and before me. And as I'm going along, your hand is upon me. We are completely sheltered in the love of our Heavenly Father. How can that be? How can it be? I think that's a question our flesh might ask. How can it be that God knows to this extent? And the answer is His intelligence, His wisdom, His love, His mighty power is so far beyond us that we cannot comprehend it. And that's what David said. He said, Lord, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. And this is the Father that we have, looking out for our interests every day. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is just as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. And how marvelous that thought is. You know, when we're little children, what's our greatest fear? It's to go down in the cellar in the dark and get that can of corn so Mom can make dinner. Oh, brethren, I had such torture as a child with that one. And as Christian people, in those times of darkness in our lives, we need not fear. Because the darkness is as the light of day in our Heavenly Father's sight. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. And the lives of the Lord's people have been written in the book of life. And the Lord's people are being formed in the depths of the earth. God looking out among the human race and calling one here, one there. And of those, it's not the noble, it's not the wise, the brilliant, the mighty. It's the weak, for the most part. It's the foolish, for the most part. It's the base, for the most part. I was wonderfully formed in the depths of the earth. All my days were appointed for me when as yet there were none of them, because you knew that someday, Lord, you would be making a new creation. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. That seems kind of an odd phrase. What does it mean? As I looked at your faces, it looked like you were having the same experience with this psalm that I have. It's transcendent. It's almost like we've gone into a dream. It's something so wonderful and high, so lofty, so precious to us that we feel as though we're in a dream. All these marvelous thoughts of God, and yet when I wake up, it's not a dream. I wake up, and it's still reality. You are still with me. Let's honor our Heavenly Father, raise our voices together in singing, "How great thou art."
I see the stars.
we don't even know the half of it, brethren. Our great Creator is so profoundly wise and wonderful and powerful and loving. How wonderful it will be to know Him even as we are known. There is a secret place where we can go for shelter and for comfort, for a refuge in every storm of life. It's the secret place of the Most High. I've been there frequently. How about you? It's a cherished place. It's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth and His buckler, His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's where we want to run. That is where we want to flee in every time of need, to the presence of the Almighty God. There we will find our truest comfort and protection, and there we will find sure deliverance. The Lord is thy refuge. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot and be stumbled against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. A very precious scriptural promise we find in 1 Timothy. In the midst of controversies, some were teaching that the resurrection was already past. And Paul, in offering his strength and wisdom to Timothy, tells him this. You'll recall the scripture. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation stands sure, having this seal." But what's the seal? Tell us. What shows us the foundation stands sure? And it is this: the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knows you're His. We don't need to prove it to anyone else. We don't need to doubt it for a moment. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We have found in God a marvelous retreat. Let's sing the praises of Him under His wings, a different version. And so that's where we want to abide, under the safety of the wings of the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God of the universe. How do we show the Lord our love? How do we show it? I think the greatest way we show the Lord our love is by obeying, doing what He says. Like an innocent child who wants to please their father, to show them their love and their faithfulness, to obey Him. Jesus said, He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. As we obey the commands that our Lord Jesus gave us, as we obey the commands that he received from the Heavenly Father, we show him our love. And if we love him, the Father takes note. And the Father says, I love my son Jesus as well. And the fact that this one and that one loves my son, I love them for that. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And isn't that when we feel the closest to the Lord? When we're seeking to follow the most closely we can in his footsteps, and to seek to do the will of the Heavenly Father so carefully, we love the security of those divine overshadowing wings. It's our secret place. Nobody else knows how to get there. It's a great privilege to have access. Let us obey. And he manifests himself to us. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. But he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. Whosoever loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And here we plumb the depths of spiritual understanding. Everybody believes that Jesus is Jesus Christ, or do they? There are levels of recognition. It's not merely enough to take the name of Jesus. We must live the life of Jesus. We must be yoked fellows together with him. We must acknowledge him as the Lord of our life. We must come to a daily recognition of one very important fact. And that fact is summed up in the scripture that tells us, you are not your own. And we need to realize that. And the more we realize that in our daily lives, that you are not your own, the more O.B. Elbert realizes he is not his own any longer, because you've been bought with a price. We belong to him who bought us. That clarifies so many issues in life. And we thank the Lord for his leading and his guidance, the spirit of adoption that we have received, the spirit of sonship. It's a marvelous privilege, and it's a great blessing. But not only is it a privilege to appreciate that bond with him, but if we love him that begot, we also love those who are begotten of him. And I think we've seen so much of that love here over the weekend. The joyous faces coming together and seeing brethren we haven't seen in a while, and just recognizing, you know, that feeling of, I've had such great fellowship with that sister right over there in the green coat. And you know, that brother over there sitting there next to his lovely wife from Indiana. We've had such great times in the past together. And all of us have these experiences with each other. The fellowship of saints in light is a great privilege. It is a wonderful blessing, and we are so very thankful of it. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. What was the greatest new commandment that Jesus gave us? Thank you, Sister Violet. Oh, that was Sister Florence. Thank you. That you love one another as I have loved you. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And that's true too. You know, it can seem so hard to keep his commands, to not evil speak of people, to be obedient to the Heavenly Father's will, to meet together with the brethren, to spread the news, the good news of the coming kingdom of God and the fact that Jesus Christ has come as man's redeemer. The more we do this, the more we realize the great joy in it and the trepidation we may feel because our flesh is weak will be greatly offset by the joy when we realize how wonderful God's commands are. They bring us a sense of rest and joy when we keep them. Let us sing about the wisdom of our Heavenly Father in giving these commands to us. How wise are God's commands. And that's so true. If we leave our burdens at his feet, we can bear a song away. Dwelling under his wings, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens or disciplines not? If you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The disciplines and leadings of the Lord aren't just a whim. They aren't punishments after his own personal pleasure. It's all for our good, with a goal that we might be partakers of His holiness, that we might have a character likeness molded in the image of our great Heavenly Father. Of Jesus we read, though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And if He, who had such greater wisdom than we have, submitted Himself to the Heavenly Father for divine instruction, should we not also? Let's join our voices once again in singing hymn number 228. It's a precious hymn. We'll talk about it after we've sung it. Great truth in that. If we're going to grow, it's going to take some effort. Darkness can show us worlds of light that we never noticed by day. I love that. That's such a powerful thought. Darkness alone wouldn't do that. Darkness with the evidence of the divine providence of our Heavenly Father. That's what shows us these worlds of light. You know, in times of great distress, great trial, great difficulty that we've personally been through, Sister Janet and I have reflected on those, and we are in agreement. We wouldn't pass those experiences up. We would not be the Christians today that we are, were it not for all the experiences that the Heavenly Father has allowed to come upon us. We are so grateful for them. We thank God for them, because they have shown us worlds of light that we never even imagined by natural sight. From the new creation, there could be no such joys were it not for our blessed hopes. If our joys were dependent upon circumstances of this life merely, we should be without joy. And as the Apostle has declared, be of all men most miserable. It is when hope has laid firm hold upon the exceeding great and precious promises of God's word, that joys spring up as flowers in a desert, vivified by our tears. Such flowers of joy and blessing as the poor world in its wilderness condition could not produce or imagine. And as our joys depend on our hopes, they depend also upon our activities. It's not sufficient that a promise has been left us and that our hope has grasped a promise. By divine arrangement, the joy which springs into being through the implanted hopes and prospects must be nourished by prayer and by activity in the Lord's service. Our Lord indicates the close relationship between prayer and the perpetuation of our joys, saying, "Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Let's sing again. Cause for gratitude. Under his wings, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, the omniscient, infallible, all-wise, all-powerful, brilliantly intelligent, infinitely loving, creator of the universe says to you and me, "Come here. Dwell under my wings. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High." What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, indeed, who? I can't think of a single person, creature, thing. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Brethren, it's been a delight this evening to sing together with you, to read scriptures together, to consider our great Heavenly Father and His marvelous love and His keeping power for us. And through the evening, through the days to come, we keep this precious thought in mind. Jesus told us this, by the way. This is no idle rumor. The Father Himself loveth you.
Maybe I'll see you this evening at the throne of grace. Maybe I'll see you this evening in the secret place of the Most High. May God bless. We'll see you there.